This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. I am joined by my co-host Adam Murray. I am Andrew Reich. We are doing our postscripts of our all of these NBA teams now that they finished the 2023-24 season, and now they've all gone fishing, and we have some things we'd like to discuss with all of them. Adam, how you feel about this next crop?
This group is the changes group, because it wasn't the WTF OMG group of what happened, we got panic. This is the, we gotta make, you know, changes are need to be made.
We can't
run this back next year.
Yeah, even if you had like marked improvement on your team, there's the opportunity to do so for those teams because they have the cap room. So you're going to see a different version of these teams. And then there are some that are kind of right at the tax line, and they if they want to make changes, they have to cut people in order to make the moves happen. And going to be a little bit of trickiness, a lot of trades potentially for some of these teams. All these teams that we're going to be talking about made the playoffs.
Yeah, but they're all mediocre. They're all play-in teams. They're all lost to the first round. They're all, congratulations, you made it, but you're what, a 6-7 seed? You're out. You bounce in the first round. You know, for some teams, you really achieved, you know, you've improved upon what you were last year. Good on you. Next year, you'll have the expectations label. Other ones, it's like Chicago. You're here again? You guys, is this just what you want to be? Like, do you just want to be playing the play-in team every year? Like, you just contend to be 500 and then bounced early? Like,
yeah, because given injuries and whatnot or just some bad moves, you could fall into that play-in very easily. That's some of the teams that we're discussing. They were in the play-in, and they had to play their way out of it. You ready?
Let's get into it.
All right, Adam, let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks, who I would have to say on the overall had a pretty disappointing season, even though there were some landmines in there about, oh, yeah, they're not – it's not going to be easy for them. You got a brand new coach in Quinn Snyder. Trae Young's future is uncertain with DeJounte Murray there already. And their offense was good, but their defense was god awful.
So here's a question for you. What is better? Is it better to try and fail or to not try at all?
Try and fail. Because by doing that, you can at least see where the potential is to go to the next level. If you try, you'll never know.
Trying and failing leaves you with this stinker of a team and leaves you in mediocrity. If you recall, a few years ago, they had their vision. We got Trae Young, Kevin Huerter, Neko Kongu, Clint Capella, and DeAndre Hunter.
And DeAndre Hunter, and they signed all big deals,
all long term. This team's going to grow together. This team is going to get better together. And then You panic, you get DeJounte Murray, who can't play with Trae Young, which we all, even in the previews and everybody's previews, are like, this isn't going to work.
They were kind of hamstrung in having to give a long-term deal to Murray because they had given up long-term draft picks to the Spurs.
Four first-round picks, if I recall.
27, right. So they had no choice but to extend Murray, and they got a good deal out of that. So his highest salary is $30 million in 2027.
And he's been good for them. Trae Young.
Exactly.
Trae puts up points, but he's not winning your team. He's not making other players better.
I know it sounds crazy. He averages, Trae Young averaged 26 points, 11 assists, 6 free throws, 3 threes. He's a great guard. The problem is he can't share the ball with DeJounte Murray. And when Trae Young broke his finger in the month, I believe, of March, and he was out for a month or two, the Hawks were markedly better on defense with DeJounte leading the point. He averaged 22 points and 6 assists and 5 rebounds. They had a stretch where they beat the Celtics twice in a row, which nobody did. And you could just see a renewed sense of energy with Bogdan Bogdanovic off the bench, who is a six man of the year contender. Jalen Johnson, whose rookie contract is coming up soon, he'll be extension eligible, had a great year. Capella, he got a new deal, but he's got a new deal, but it's only 2 years, so you can trade him. So they got some flexibility.
Oh, don't forget, John Collins was the problem. Once they got rid of John Collins, they were better, right?
They dumped John Collins. They literally dumped him. The thing for Atlanta is, if they are able to trade Trae Young, they're at the tax limit anticipated to be. So they can do some things like use the full MLE to get a good player. They can aggregate some salary if they decide to dump Young for draft picks. But there are some players that they're going to have to think about trying to keep or not keep. Sadiq Bey, who tore his ACL, but he was a good player. He's in restricted free agency. They might not be able to keep him. Okongwu is tied up. You got to find a way to extend Jalen Johnson. I would say that they're going to probably keep him, right?
You got Jalen Johnson, but you also traded for Sadiq Bey, who's now a...
You signed DeAndre Hunter before that, who pretty much plays the same position.
So here's the curious slash funny thing about that. They traded 4 second-round picks for Sadiq Bey. Mm-hmm. You know how many of those 4 second-round picks went to the team he came from?
No.
None. Detroit got none of those second-round picks. Detroit,
it was almost like they dumped Sadiq Bey.
They dumped Sadiq Bey to get James Wiseman. And... I was like, how that we've already mentioned the dysfunction of Detroit GM with Troy Weaver going bye bye. This GMing job of Atlanta, like I said, is it better to try? Because you're left with this really mediocre team of what do you do? How do you get better? All you know is changes are going to have to happen. But what do you possibly, where do you start to peel away the layers of complete mediocrity with this team?
They're bringing in a new team executive. Travis Schlenk is gone, but that had been announced a long time ago. At this point, the one thing that I think Quinn Snyder does want to do, because Quinn Snyder's locked in. He signed in a multi-year deal a year ago. I thought he did the best that he could with the roster that he had. The two problems for Atlanta is this is not a this is not a luxury tax worthy type of team. So they got to get out from under it, which means that you'll probably have to shed some salary, not add to it. So if you extend Jalen Johnson, which I expect, they're going to have to probably trade Capella and start Okongwu. They're going to have to let Sadiq Bey walk. And then there's the nuclear option, which is what can we get for Trae Young? And then you just start making calls in the summer. And if Trey gets, you know, butthurt about it, because there's been always rumor and innuendo that Trey Young is sort of a fragile ego type of guy who will throw a coach under the bus at a moment's notice. You know, you don't want to hurt his feelings. So, you know, Trey Young's camp is going to be vouching to try to keep him there. So
Or they might just go, look, we can't do this anymore. We need to be somewhere else where we'll be the centerpiece as opposed to us being the blame for everything.
But defense is where the improvement has to be. That's going to have to be the goal when they look in free agency in the draft. This was a team that gave up 73 points to Luka Doncic. This is also a team that gave up 40 points to Kobe White in a must-win game. This is not acceptable. They have to be better on defense if they want to be a playoff-caliber team. But the problem for ownership is this is not a tax-paying level. This is not a luxury tax-paying team. They're right at the lip of the first apron, so they're not going to be adding too much talent. It looks like they're either going to have to find smaller deals where they can find improvement on defense or the nuclear option, like I said, and trade Trae Young. All right, Adam, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. It looks like that little stretch where Karnisovas put together DeRozan, they were able to re-sign LaVine, they brought in Lonzo Ball at the time. They're not going to break up that nucleus quite yet, but it will not come back the same after another play-in loss in Miami for a second year in a row.
Oh, this is what a just tough case for – I don't even know where to start with them. I'll put it that way. Basically, is it safe to say Zach LaVine is holding this team hostage? with his just $40 million albatross just sitting there.
Didn't Chicago do it to themselves by re-signing him a year ago?
They did, but they tried. Lonzo Ball's lower half just did not want to cooperate at all.
It is such a mess with his knees and his ankles. Like that, they were able to get a medical waiver because they guaranteed he wasn't going to be able to play at all for this season, and he didn't. He's got a player option coming up at $21 million. He will pick it up, and I would have to imagine, because he did do some interview rounds, that Lonzo is going to try to play. But is this going to be like a Grant Hill situation where he comes back and he's like a shell of himself? It's tough because Lonzo Ball is a really good player when he's at his best. And when he was healthy alongside LaVine and DeRozan and Vucevic, Chicago was really good. It was just bad luck from a contract standpoint. LaVine's got 3 years and a player option left all the way into 2027, but he clearly was trying to get out of Chicago, and when he couldn't make it happen, he shut himself down with some phony ankle injury.
So last year we said Chicago has to do something. They have to. They didn't.
Well, now they have to. Now
at the trade deadlining, we said Chicago has to do something. Ownership reportedly said, okay, we're fine. We could do a rebuild. The GM was like, nope. I want to make this team
because that was the team he built. If he rebuilds the team, if he tears down the team that he built, that means his job is done for, or he's on borrowed time, you know. So they've done well drafting. They, you know, Coby White had his growing pains, but he got a new contract and he had a
They done well drafting?
I would assume he wound up being a good player for them. I thought picking up Andre Drummond on the MLE was great.
That's not drafting. That's just re-signing. Yeah, the Coby White and the Dosunmu signings are great and a practical steal, but Patrick Williams at the number 4 pick, trading a first to Orlando for Vucevic, who you had to re-sign just to say it wasn't a sunken loss. It's not like Vucevic moves a needle, but not having him is terrible. Dalen Terry, 2 years ago,
he played more this year, but yeah, his growth.
Yeah, so their drafting isn't good, and then the problem with Patrick Williams is this team has absolutely no size whatsoever. You kind of need to re-sign him because the big man market's really, really bare.
And his health has been an issue too.
Here's the thing: they know they need to do something. We all know they need to do something. It's just, what could they possibly do? Do you see what kind of haul you could get for LaVine? Because you kind of losing DeRozan, this team is just, you might as well blow it up if you lose DeRozan because you don't have a replacement for him.
DeRozan was terrific once, you know, it's just one of these situations where you recalibrate the team and who gets the shots and who gets the minutes based off of who's available. When LaVine shut himself down, it was like, all right, DeMar, you're the man. You're getting the ball late. And he played to his credit, despite all of the naysayers about, oh, he's not going to last for his contract, he's going to be damaged goods by the end. He outlived his useful, like he was, his usefulness matched his career, because he's still fantastic, but he is an unrestricted free agent this summer.
So what do you do if you lose him?
I would give him,
get to replace him.
I would give him a 2-year, $80 million contract, or a 2-year,
$70 million. I think that's what they offered him, and he wants a 3-year deal.
Yeah, because he doesn't, because that's like someone in the under 38. He wants to get past that. I don't know his age by heart, but if I had to guess, he's probably 34 to 35 years old.
I believe, but he's in that range. Yes.
So he wants a 3-year deal so that he can get to the under 38 rule, so that he's not forced to only be able to do 2 years after that. He wants as much money as he can now. Let's just see what the market says for DeRozan. I think there will be people wanting him for sure. And if that's the case, then you have to do a blow it up and trade away LaVine and just do a straight up rebuild.
But the problem is, they don't, who do you have on this team to rebuild around? It's just
Coby White, Nikola Vucevic, and Alex Caruso in one more year.
Vucevic isn't gonna, he doesn't fit that timeline.
No, but the other thing that they do have is that if they lose DeRozan, even with LaVine's salary, they're actually under the cap. So they're actually going to have room to add some pieces, use the full mid-level exception. They're going to be able to do some things to add to the roster through free agency or trade. But it really depends. I think the first key is what does DeRozan do? Then they decide what to do with LaVine. I don't think LaVine is the first decision.
You have no bench. You're going to rebuild around Coby White, 1 year of Alex Caruso, who you know isn't going to re-sign because he's going to get paid.
And 1 more year of Lonzo Ball.
And 33-year-old Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah. And I don't think Billy Donovan's leaving. I mean, if so,
he would have been gone.
Yeah, I think he's going to stick around. I think they liked how much fight they showed later in the year, to the point that they got to the elimination game against Miami where they lost. But it's not – the prospects are not high for the Bulls. They just have always been, for the last 3 years, even with the expectations when they signed DeRozan and Lonzo Ball, they've just always had these like middling results, regardless of what you go into the season thinking, no matter what. And the other thing too is that their offense is just, it doesn't have the firepower. So I have to imagine they're going to try to get some scores, whether through
it's been a team and a franchise content to make the play-in game every year, and it shows. And now they can't
do that anymore. Yeah, and they're very likely to lose that pick in 20 unless they tank. They're going to probably lose that 2025 draft pick to San Antonio. So let me ask you this one question. Do you think Lonzo Ball will be back next year?
I think he's going to try. Because if
that's high salary, you can't just lump that salary into a trade. That's $21 million. There's no way you can dump.
We've said that about everyone else. Even Ben Simmons was traded 2 years ago. And we thought that was the most untradeable contract. Even James Harden got traded this past year. Every year we are surprised with how can they possibly move that deal, and that's absolutely amazing. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll just wait and see with Chicago, but our hopes are not up.
All right, Adam, the pace and space, Hampton's five, death lineup, all the beautiful catchphrases the internet has made up about the Steve Kerr's Golden State Warriors, who won 4 NBA titles over the course of 9 years. I think we could put curtains on it after they got absolutely destroyed by the Sacramento Kings in the 9-10 matchup in the play-in tournament.
I don't think anybody expected them to go out with such a whimper like that, but it's funny. It's very funny.
And surprise, the only thing that surprised him was how poorly Klay Thompson played in the play-in, because he did show in the regular season that he was showing improvement as a shooter. You know, he shot 37% for three. He went 0-for in that game, but he also averaged 17 points, so he wasn't bad. Draymond Green, you gotta get rid of that contract. I know you can't aggregate because you're way, way over the second apron. So you're now restricted by the league to not be able to just dump contracts the way that you used to. That's the new CBA. But you gotta find a way to trade them away.
You stole my thunder. I was gonna say you live by the Draymond, and then you die by the Draymond. You doubled down on him. You took his side. You paid him for it. While Draymond was gone for his 21 games, they went 10-11.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the difference between the 8th and 10th seed was?
How many games?
One game.
Yep. Got suspended twice. Got suspended for choking Rudy Gobert for no reason during a skirmish. And then he just, what did he do to Joseph Nurkic?
Just punched him? He punched him in the head.
It's like, dude, like, and he had to, and the league had to step in and say, what happened is the league told the Warriors either you're going to do something or we're going to do something. And the Warriors said, okay, we'll do it. And he went away for a month.
The league suspended him. He had to come back, and they said, okay, you're fit to come back. And then the Warriors kept him out a little longer.
Yeah. He had to go through the mental health exercises, Curry wanted him back. He knew he was the leader of the defense. which is rich because he averaged less than a steal, less than a block per game. He was their second best assist guy behind Chris Paul, who they're probably not going to be able to retain because he has a $30 million team option. And you would
and be hasn't been wasn't the missing piece. He was
absolutely. You would be a fool to accept that team option. A fool.
All it took is if he wasn't suspended, they wouldn't have gone 10-11. All he had to win is two more games. And mm-hmm. we would have been talking them as the seventh seed or the sixth seed. Or no, they would have still been the eighth seed because Phoenix and New Orleans were higher. But it's a big difference.
This was the most expensive team in NBA history. They were $42 million off
the window. The window has shut. We know it's funny. It's been a theme. We know trades have to be made. They know trades have to be made. I don't know if Clay will take a hometown discount.
You can't give a player who's already on your team the mid-level exception. So they're not going to be able to do that. So how much of a hometown discount are you going to offer this man? He just made $43 million on the last year of his deal. But
it depends what he wants.
But Adam, if we really had to be honest, at the level of what Klay Thompson provides versus, you know, the numbers, what the numbers say now, he probably would get something in the range of what Jaden McDaniels got for Minnesota, probably even less, probably something less than $20 million a year if I was Golden State.
Oh, there'll be teams looking to give 30.
You have, if Gary Payton opts into $9 million, you might have to trade him away because you don't want to pay tax just to keep Gary Payton the second. You might have to cut Kevon Looney at $3 million.
Now, what they're, the first thing you're going to do is send out a first with Andrew Wiggins. And somebody will take it.
Because he's got 26 million guaranteed this coming year, and then he goes all the way to, I believe, 2027 with a team with a player option. So that's going to be hard to do. Because I think Andrew Wiggins is still a good player.
He's a good player. He just doesn't fit into them. But somebody will take him. Mm-hmm. Somebody you could see him in Brooklyn, or just be a third piece. Get your 20 point. Get your 18, 20 points a game. Don't lose the game for us. He could do it, so they can move him, but the team got old fast, and then Draymond sunk the team, and it's just everybody's looking at him now going, wow, that was ugly.
If they let Clay and Chris Paul walk, that could get them like around the luxury tax level. But there's still going to be some moves that they have to be made. Someone, I agree with you on this, but we're differing on the player. Someone has to get sent away. You're saying it might be Andrew Wiggins, but they have to give up a pick. I think it's going to be Draymond Green. I think we've seen the last of Draymond.
But
and
who
Clay.
Wants him at that salary?
I that's the problem. They're going to have it has to be lumped with a pick, or you might have to tag Moses Moody in the deal. Or somebody like that, or a Brandon Pajemski. You have to make it worth their while. I think John the Kaminga is going to get an extension to stay there. I thought he showed a lot of improvement. Averaged 15 points, 5 rebounds. He got to the free throw line a lot, 53% from the field. They need to keep him. Steph Curry's got 2 years left, and he's unrestricted on the Supermax. So I know a lot of people are going to be hemming and hawing over the summer. If Clay leaves and if Draymond is let go, then they're going to, then Curry's going to ask for a trade. I would take the chance if I was Mike Dunleavy, because at this point it sounds like we're on the verge of a rebuild as it is.
I mean, Mike Dunleavy,
but let me ask you this.
They shipped out 5 seconds to get Gary Payton the second.
A player that they let walk in free agency.
So, good luck to him. That's all. I think that's all we can say is, look, it's over. It's done. Everybody said it. Even if they manage to do re-sign it, we know the dynasty is officially over, and now it's just the sort of the end times and the transition period to move to Kaminga and Moody. Do we even know if Moses Moody could do anything? He hasn't gotten a chance to do anything. There's nobody else development. Okay, Pajemski. That was a nice draft pick.
Trace Jackson Davis had some good moments. I think he'll stick around. I also wonder if Steve Kerr is going to stick around. There might be a point. He might just want to go out
go right out of the sunset, go back to TNT and just...
Yeah. The originals, yeah. If I don't get the core that I won titles with, despite how long ago it was, if I can't keep this team together, then I don't want to be part of it. I can see that happening as well, you know. And they also went through a tragedy where one of their assistant coaches literally died while they were practicing. So it's been a tough year for Kerr and Curry, Draymond with his suspensions, Klay Thompson having to come to grips with the fact that he's just not the player he used to be. There's been a lot of drama there. There's been a lot of drama in Golden State. They still were 10 games above 500. They were a great offense this year. But something's got to change. And I'm pretty convinced that we won't see Klay Thompson, Draymond Green wear a Warriors uniform again. Adam, the Houston Rockets, this was one where we weren't sure going in what we were going to expect because they had these huge free agency signings of Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks because they had so much cap room. But it turned out they put together a not so bad team, and they actually went on a long winning streak late in the season and almost made the playoffs.
Is the Houston a case of, yes, coaching matters?
Because of Ime Udoka making them a much improved defensive team?
Yes, you got VanVleet. Yes, you got Dylan Brooks, but you got all those kids to play, and most of them showed improvement. To me, the jury is out.
And Alperen Şengün for sure.
Yeah, to me, the jury is out on Jabari still. But here's the problem I have with Houston. You need to pick a direction. You can't keep all these kids. You can't keep Green, Şengün, Jabari Smith, Cam Whitmore, and Tari Eason, and one of the Thompson twins.
Yeah, they've had a lot of bites at the apple. You're right. And
you can't
keep all the bites. Like, at some point you have to start shedding some of the salary as that looming team option in 2025 comes for Fred VanVleet and his $45 million. I thought VanVleet, even though his scoring was okay-ish, I thought he was a great leader for that team.
He was
16 points, eight assists, 3 3-pointers a game, one of the better steals players, just a solid, steady hand. Dylan Brooks was weird. Dylan Brooks was just weird.
He was good.
Yeah, I thought he was. But he would have games where he would take like 12 threes and make maybe two of them. Then he'd have a game where he'd make 5 threes. He was just this. But defensively, he was much improved. Whitmore as a rookie showed a lot of promise. Amen Thompson, once he finally got healthy, showed some promise as well.
Tari Eason was great till he got injured. And then what happens when Tari Eason comes back? What do you do with him and Whitmore, who are the same person, kind of?
Yeah, and because they had all that cap room and they had to use it in order to get to the salary floor. They signed Jeff Green and Jock Landale to these 1-year deals pretty much because they have team options that they can decline. But they played okay. They played more late in the season.
Here's a question. Could this be a sneaky landing spot for Klay Thompson?
Oh, very much so. It depends on what Klay's asking for. Because you can decline 3 options here that can immediately give you $24 million in Jayshon Tate, Jeff Green, and Jock Landale. Right there is $24 million.
And we know Klay is not the player he was, but in 25-minute spurts on this roster, you don't want him coming in shooting threes? That's why I'm like, they need to pick a direction. What are you going to do?
It depends. It's sort of like a lot of these veterans. It depends on the years. I'm pretty sure Klay's going to win 4 years. And teams are going to balk at that. They're going to say, I am not paying $20 million for Klay Thompson in his mid to late 30s. I think that's going to be the big question. They also have other free agency questions, but it's more about some spring cleaning so that they don't have any issues with the rookie contracts of Jalen Green and Şengün. I'd have to imagine they're going to get rookie extensions. I think Şengün's going to get rookie max.
So you're going to give him a rookie max? You're going to give Jalen Green a rookie max?
Can't give can't him, you can give him identical contract extensions, but that totally then you have no choice but to decline Fred VanVleet, right?
Yeah. Especially, you need know, to make it. Life comes at you fast here. Mm-hmm. Windows are you've opened this window, but you got shut it.
You've got trade opportunities with the contract of Steven Adams, but if you're talking about, I mean, let's just talk about that Klay Thompson example. You can't do a sign and trade with the Warriors. They're way too far over the apron. So you can't hard cap them. So, I mean, the Rockets are over the cap, but they're under the tax. So they got a little bit of wiggle room. But I think everything this season is going to have to be via trade or declining those options. of Tate, Green, and Landale, and giving yourself some wiggle room to make a signing. But it's not going to be – I don't think they're going to do much to improve their team, to be honest. I think the big focus is let's get extensions for Jalen Green and Elbron Chengun. I think that's the big focus for them. Defensively, they look great. Offensively, they were not great. I think they can definitely make some improvements there, get some shooters, shoot the ball better. I think there's a lot they can do on offense to make themselves better. I mean, I know you're not a big fan of Jabari Smith Jr. He's a good – I think he can make threes at the four. But do you think that time's running out on him?
Yeah. where has to be the number three pick? And again, you have
rebounds.
You have like I said, Eason and Whitmore and Thompson all sitting there because Jabari, like you got Şengün who could only play the five, so they can put some smaller people around him as long as Şengün is holding the fort down back there. So it's one of those you're competing against now smaller, faster people. And yeah, you could say the previous regime did not get him his shot and didn't really plan for him at all. And it kind of shows, but you got to, it's the point of everybody on this team has to step up because you can easily be gone.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to do something like getting a Malik Monk type or a Miles Bridges or even an OG Anunoby, even though I don't think Anunoby would be a good fit. I just don't think they're going to be able to go beyond 20 to 25 million to sign somebody because I don't think they want to pay the tax. So they're going to want to stay over that $165 million tax limit. And they're right around 145. They can make some room, but I don't think they're going to be like really like going for it the way that they did when they signed Van Vliet and Brooks because they had so much cap space. I think they're going to be much more conservative this year. And they showed a lot of improvement with Udoka coaching them and getting their defense better. And I wonder if they're just looking at what they have now and they're saying, okay, if we tidy up and refine this nucleus, we might have the potential to be something better. But you got to get Şengün and you got to get Jalen Green extended. That's number one goal. All right, Adam, the Orlando Magic. We did it. We finally got a good Orlando Magic season. They went seven games with the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round. Almost squeezed it out, kind of blew it in the second half. But what a future with Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, Cole Anthony, and Jalen Suggs are there. And a lot of cap room above that.
Oh, this will be half of this episode with...
Well, they're about co-host. as young as her right now.
I mean, I guess we could say she thinks that comment's funny as she thinks Orlando is still a joke. No, Orlando Banchero, good. He's becoming the guy.
Yeah.
That Orlando has always had the alpha center, and he's now the new one. So finally, we can say the process is over.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The process
has to be over because now they need to start getting rid of some of these people. You can't just keep having. And that's why last year was like, why do they draft Anthony Black and Jet Howard? Jet Howard didn't play at all, and Anthony Black. Okay, it looks like he'll be a defensive guy, but everyone is saying this year they should go get Klay Thompson. They need him. You have huge log jams. You got Chimo Kiki.
Yeah, I think, Kiki is a restricted free agent because he was a first-round pick when they got him in 19. But I think they might just pull his qualifying
off. But he fell out of the rotation. He's not part of it. It comes down to what they want to do with Jonathan Isaac. He, didn't play for 2 years. And then
he has a $17 million team option. But like you were saying, he did play well when he was able to play. And he actually played his best ball in the postseason when he found his spot as like a defender inside, but also a good 3-point shooter.
That's the problem is it's like the Kawhi thing. It's like you watch him. It's like he can guard every position. He's a defensive freak and he's gone for another 3 months. And
So they have a team option there, but they can easily pick that up because first of all, before they even do anything involving their contracts, they're guaranteed money because they have so many rookie contracts still on the board. Is that like 100, right around 105 million? They are 40 to 35 million under the salary cap. They have a lot of room to do things. So there's going to be some creativity there for the GM. in order to add pieces, to find people that might fit. They do have a team option also involving Joel Ingles at $11 million. They'll probably cut that. So they're going to have probably even more room than they expected. But the very first thing they have to focus on is getting the rookie max set up for Franz Wagner. That's going to be number one.
Yeah, that's just formalities. Markelle Fultz, he's a free agent.
Like, Gary Harris, yep.
Gary Harris, I can't see them keeping. So they tried to get rid of him for 2 years and nobody would take him.
I agree. I think Harris is done. Cole Anthony signed a new deal right before the season started at $13 million a year with a team option in 26. So he's there. Suggs, that's interesting. He was drafted the same year as Franz Wagner. I can see this sort of in the same vein as these sort lesser future RFAs where it goes all the way to October and he signs a deal. I can see.
Well, that. He's finally finding his, because his rookie year was, it was ugly.
He's very athletic, but he's a very physical defender. And because of his physicality, he gets hurt a lot. So,
well, I think the problem was they tried to make him a point guard his first year and it was just turning the ball over.
Not a point guard. He's a two guard. Yep.
He is an undersized two guard, and which is funny to say at 6'5", but in today's positionless NBA, like...
Yeah. Let me say this about Mo Wagner. He is not a Thanasis. Thanasis is a joke. The only reason he's in the league is because his brother is Giannis. Mo Wagner's a good player. He's a pain in the ass pest, but he's a good player. So he's under contract one more year at $8 million. But as long as Franz is there,
he's
Mo's
a
there.
Solid... Franz is a solid backup contributor, the same way Brooke had Robin. He's like the Robin Lopez, Franz. Yeah. Good, not great, but solid on the team. It's just they need to get more veteran pieces.
I think they need a point guard. I think you let Markelle Fultz walk and you get a point guard.
Like, well, you got Anthony Black.
You got Anthony Black, and they did start
in Cole Anthony.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Cole Anthony is a six man for sure. Absolutely a six man. So, they need to find a starting, like Tyus Jones would fit well there.
They need a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
They need a Clay Thompson. Well.
Yeah, somebody their offense struggle.
Play 25 minutes, 25, 27 minutes. Just go in, snipe, go back out.
They were second to last in three-pointers made in the league. They were 27th in assists. They need ball movement.
And that's what killed them in the playoffs is just watching game seven. It's like once you get down, it's like, oh, they can't shoot themselves back in.
Yeah, but Jamal Mosley is doing a great job with the defense. That it's there. They're dialed in. Paolo, there's no sophomore of the year in the NBA, but if there was, it would have been Bancaro. He was a stud. He was also an all-star. I don't know how much higher he could go, but Adam, it's scary. If he gets any better than he is now, he's going to be a beast.
Well, this is only year two. That's the thing. But I think it's the first time since we started doing this, we could say things are finally looking up for the Orlando Magic.
Absolutely. And there's so much cap room. I just don't know what they're going to do with it. All right, Adam, the Miami Heat. Is there a chance that we've seen Jimmy Butler play his last season with Miami?
See, she finds that comical. I don't see them... what could you possibly...
So you don't believe the rumors that the young player that they're trying to align with Bam Adebayo in the offseason will be in order to flip Jimmy Butler for him? You don't believe that?
That depends who that young player is, because Jimmy Butler is not going to be like, oh, I'll go to Utah.
What if it was Donovan Mitchell as an example?
You think Jimmy Butler would be like, okay, I'm cool with going to Cleveland?
Well, he doesn't have a no-trade clause. I don't think he has much of a choice, to be quite honest with you. If they want to move him, they can move him. If you're Miami,
they could, but it's.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Butler's great. He just got hurt. He got hurt in the play-in. He didn't play.
He got hurt. He gets hurt. He's 34, and it was always, well, there's playoff Jimmy. There's playoff Jimmy. Now it's just 34-year-old Jimmy, and the injuries are piling up, and he has what, 2 years left, and he wants another 2 year deal.
You committed new money with Tyler Hero. Terry Rozier is now there with 3 years. Duncan Robinson and that deal, that's not going to be over for at least another two seasons. So they're staring at a little bit of money. They were past the tax line last year.
They're not staring at money is the problem. They have a very expensive roster and they need to get.
No, but that's what I mean. They're like right at the lip of the tax line. So now what do you do?
everybody this season went all in, just in their own little different ways. And Miami went all in by going for Rozier.
It's not they tried to get Lillard in the summer and it didn't happen. Yep.
That just goes back to why would Portland take – you should have just taken the Miami picks and Jacquez, and that would have been way better than Ayton and trash.
Yeah, but hindsight's 2020, right, yeah.
But we all figured that. Again, it's not their fault that Terry Rozier got injured. It's just you go all in for Terry Rozier, and you still have Tyler Hero. So yeah. Tyler Hero is going to have to be a very, very expensive six man.
Because you were a tax-paying team, you couldn't do much, so you signed Josh Richardson. Josh Richardson gets a shoulder injury. So, like, it stuff like that happens. It's random, but it happens. They do great developing their guys. We've always talked about this between you and I for years with the Miami Heat. So you saw it again with, like, Haywood Highsmith and Orlando Robinson.
Nikola Jovic.
Like, they've all played well. Highsmith is now, just like Gabe Vincent last year, he's a restricted. So if he gets a big deal, they might not be able to match it. So
and you need Kevin Love in his veteran minimum.
He's got a player option at $4 million, but he seems he's a different cat. He seems content. He might just take that $4
million. He's just like, yeah, I'm old. I've gotten my money. I've gotten my rings.
Hawkins is a good player. He's got a good future.
He does. It's just Adebayo is also taking it to a new level this past year.
Great defensive player. Offensively, he's getting better. He's getting better. Like, we talk about Evan Mobley sometimes about how we just don't feel like he's going to be a 2010 guy. Bam Adebayo is a 2010 guy. He's a guy who can score.
It's just, what do you do now with Jimmy Butler? And, of course, you have all the faith in the world in the front office, because we say this every year. It's like, how are they going to manage a cap? How are they going to get somebody?
Andy Ellisberg, Pat Riley, they know what they're doing. Eric Spoelstra just got a huge bag of money to stay for probably the rest of his career as the Miami Heat head coach, because he's a great tactician. The fact they even beat Boston in a playoff game is a fucking miracle, Adam. You know?
I think their mantra of we're content of being a play-in team just sort of it bit them one too many times of, like, remember when the Celtics were at the end and they're like, yeah, we don't care about home court advantage. We'll be fine playing on the road. And ultimately, that's kind of what did them in at the end. It, you know,
because they can grind it out.
Yeah, if you want to be the playing team, okay, you got grind out, and then you got a bad matchup against Boston.
When you have Jimmy Butler as your star player, you can grind out games. You can be an eight, even though looking back now, it seems like unbelievable. You can be an eight seed and go to the NBA Finals if you're just a team that's built on being able to outplay your expectations. But the big question regarding Butler, how many prime years he has left, how bought in Miami is on building a team around Jimmy with some complimentary players and plus Bam, plus Hawkes, plus Rozier and Hero. It's an expensive team, and they do have to make a decision on whether or not, because Butler actually can opt out after next season. So that's why there's a lot of talk about it. I don't think Butler will opt out of $52 million in 2025, but he can if he wants. So there's a decision to be made there. There is some latitude here. They can move Caleb Martin if he opts in to his $7 million. If he opts out because he thinks he could get more, just don't give him an offer. So they do have some money, that some things that they can move around in order to get under that tax line. But I do think they want a good young player to add to this roster and go over the tax line. I just don't know who that player is. And I don't know which big contract between Rozier, Hero, or Robinson they're going to lump in to try to move to try to get that player. Like, what do you think they need?
We don't know. All we know is they'll be linked to every big name person, as they always are, and they always somehow pull it off. It's just,
they need offense. I can tell you that right now. They need offense.
They need changes. They tried to run it back and they got worse, and they can't do it again next year.
All right, Adam, the Milwaukee Bucks, the oldest team in the NBA in terms of average age. They get even older by bringing in Doc Rivers midway through because Adrian Griffin he wasn't connecting with Giannis and the newly acquired Damian Lillard and Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton. And Giannis gets hurt, Lillard gets hurt, and they lose in six games in the first round to Indiana. You're going to be running the same team back with Doc in the fold, but what do you do after this?
It was Adrian Griffin's fault.
Are you sure about that?
That's what it doesn't matter. They got just worse with Doc, and they were just painfully average, and they got outplayed.
Their defense got worse. I'll tell you that for sure.
But it was Adrian Griffin's fault. I was going to say, I almost made it through the intro without her commenting on this one.
The only thing I saw under Doc that was a marked improvement is that Chris Middleton got more involvement in the offense versus when he was coming back from injury and Adrian Griffin had him, and I don't think he knew what to do with him.
Chris Middleton just
a lot of Malik Beasley and people like that.
He got old fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one great game against the Pacers where he had 40-plus.
The whole team is just old. Game six, the average starting age of that team was 33. The average of all five was 33. That's bad.
And yeah, Jay Crowder is kind of done.
He fell apart. Malik Beasley fell apart in the playoffs, but he was a great pickup. He'll be gone because he can play.
Because they're past the tax line. Like, if they want to pay extra, they can. But for those who need the refresher, once you're past that, like, once you're around that first and second apron, when you spend money, it comes out of the owner's pocket, like, exponentially more. And the Bucks have been a tax-paying team since 2021 when they won the championship. So every move they make is going to be expensive. And they also get picks to get Lillard.
I don't think it's panic time yet for Milwaukee. Because you have to run it back, the injuries. You need to find young, cheap players as opposed to old, cheap players.
Mm-hmm.
The issue comes down to is we joke about it all the time, but Thanasis has to go. It's great having your brother
it
there.
Well, they're going to bring him back at $2 million at the veteran minimum.
He's taking a roster spot from somebody who could have played, and you're watching random people stepping up and random bench players. I mean, Miles McBride for New York. He came out of nowhere, and Thanasis just takes up a spot. And
right, that's a good point about that.
They
one.
Can't afford with a team with no money and all old players. You need a young, energetic body, and you can't have somebody who's not going to play take up your spot. Like Udonis Haslem, the last few years in Miami, they didn't need him.
He did play sometimes.
No, he didn't. He played like he didn't play for 2 years straight at the end.
They do have some of these guys that are young, but they have to make some choices. Marjon Beauchamp, if they don't want to keep him, they can just decline it. I think they like Andre Jackson. Andre Jackson Jr. is an athlete, and I think he's got a future.
I can't see him declining anybody.
AJ Green's a really good 3-point shooter. I would keep him. Patrick Beverley, disregarding the controversy where he was yelling at the Pacer fans and he was being misogynistic in the locker room to a reporter, I don't think he's going to come back. I think that he'll probably get
Jay
more money.
Jay Crowder's a free agent. He's kind of past his prime there. Patrick Beverley, past his prime there. He was just a rental.
If you wanted to move Brook Lopez, you could talk me into that. Bobby Portis is very important in that team. I would not let him go. Pat Connaughton, if anybody wants to sniff around for him, I would think about it if I could swap him out for some decent mid-level guy. But they got to get smart. They got to get clever. They got to get clever with their moves underneath Giannis, Lillard, Middleton, and Portis. Like, I think they can move those other pieces around, but they don't have that much cap room to do it.
We're not going to compare them to other teams because this is the Milwaukee one. But just look at Miami. They never have cap space. They're always under. And they always find ways to develop guys who come out of nowhere. Milwaukee hasn't done that. And that's sort of why you're relying on all these old people. And it's kind of just,
yeah, I think they got some guys. Like, I just mentioned a couple of them. But Doc Rivers is also known for not playing young guys. That's the other problem. So it depends. We saw that situation happen with Steve Kerr ad nauseum in Golden State where he just didn't want to play young guys to the detriment of the team. But Doc Rivers, I don't think, is in a position where he can really dominate how the lineups go. He doesn't have a lot.
There's nothing you can do in a half a season. You're taking everyone else's coaches. You're taking everything.
But what I also mean is that I don't think he has as much stroke as he used to, is what I meant.
Yeah, for number one, you can't just install a completely new system out of nowhere from scratch in the middle of the season with players who are, don't forget, Lillard came in late, so they were early behind the eight ball trying to get things going.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best power forward in the league. It's not even close. You know, he's dominant. He's probably the most dominant player in the league. He just got hurt. He hurt his Achilles / calf, and he didn't come back. That's it. Damian Lillard is still great. He's still a great player.
Yeah, but everyone's just looking at his big, expensive contract. And
he had, but he also has a no-trade clause. So if you were thinking about talking about maybe trading him back, no way. Not a chance.
He's got 3 years, a very expensive final year for a very old 36-year-old Lillard at that point.
I think so. Underneath the starters, they can make changes for sure to try to shore up their bench and make it better. But you're basically getting the same team next year, but with Doc Rivers coaching the entire season. All right, Adam, the Sacramento Kings. Last year, they finally broke through. They had a really good year. They had a probably what's going to be looked back on as a memorable series against the Warriors where they lost in 7 games. And they did beat the Warriors in the play-in, kind of wiped them out. But then they subsequently got wiped out by New Orleans in the play-in. And so no playoffs for them. And a few free agents that might affect their team next year.
Oh, remember how they were a feel-good story? And I was very hesitant saying, I don't know if they're they could put it back together and run it back because the Magic might be gone. And then injuries came in, and there's nothing much you could do if you really just lose
your bench. Yeah, so the biggest one is that Malik, I mean, their biggest stars were De'Aaron Fox, who was the clutch player of the year last year. He didn't win it this year, but he was still really good. Domantas Sabonis, who was on a streak where he had like 50 straight double-doubles, which hadn't been done in decades. And Harrison Barnes, Kevin Werder, Keegan Murray, who came along, and Malik Monk. The problem was Monk and Werder got season-ending injuries, and they weren't available for the postseason. So that was a tough blow for them. It's even made worse by the fact that Monk's an unrestricted free agent this summer, so they might lose him entirely.
She agrees. And that's the kicker, is they can't afford to go up on his bid. They tried to dump Harrison Barnes and Huerter for anything last year, and nobody would bite on it, so they had to run it. Sabonis was awesome. Keegan Murray improved.
He got his veteran supermax already because he was all NBA last year.
You hate on the Sabonis you as plural as everybody is. I can't believe Sacramento got rid of Halliburton. Yeah, Halliburton and Fox couldn't play together, and Fox, he's held his own.
They have an all-NBA point guard. They got an all-NBA center to go with another almost all-NBA point guard. So
it's one of those, the trade, Davion Mitchell, yeah, he fell off fast.
I was going to talk to you about that. So Davion Mitchell and Chris Duarte, they have first-round money, but their restricted free agency doesn't come up until 2025. But they're going to be in a pinch if they want to pay Monk somewhere around the neighborhood of $25 million because they are about $21 million.
I thought they could only go so high because they have limited bird rights on him. Because they signed him for...
So they're going to be in a situation where they won't be able to match. But what I'm saying is that if you want to do a new deal with Monk and stay below the tax line, is there any way you can just dump Mitchell and Duarte? Because they both have guaranteed years.
All they could do is say, please take a hometown discount. But he does not sound like he wants to take a hometown discount. And yeah, we've mentioned how much of a great spark plug I want to start. He's better suited as a six man, being the energy guy. Listen,
Keon Ellis looked good as a replacement in the play-in, but he's not ready for that spot.
This team sort of maxed out where they are. They've peaked, but it's a very heavy ceiling, and I don't know how they could get themselves out of it.
I really like Keegan Murray. I know not everybody's a fan of him, because his defense can waver, but I think he's a really good shooter. I think he could potentially be a 20-point-per-game scorer in the NBA down the road. He's just got that potential.
You got to find a way to move Barnes because he's not the answer there. And I don't know how you could do it. Possibly a sign and trade with Monk, because I don't see him coming back, as I said before, as much as it hurts. And just Sasha Venzikov, he looked decent at times.
Yeah. Trey Lyles, I think, is one of their veteran locker room guys. They're going to keep him.
But I don't know what you can do when you're extremely limited with what you have, because your team seems to be locked in. They need defense.
They do. And their defense was better than they were last year.
They were.
But what happened
terrible.
Is in the postseason, when it was nut cutting time, the defense really stunk against the Pelicans. Whereas the offense, the thing is, in 2023, they had the most efficient offense of all time up to that point. So it was nowhere to go but down for their offense. And it did, but they were still a top 10 offense. They were still very good. It just wasn't at the level that it used to be. To be fair, this team is probably more identifiable, where Fox gets the ball a ton, Sabonis is getting the ball and running point, and Murray is taking threes, and Monk is taking threes. After that, the rest of the team is expendable, and you can still have the same success with Mike Brown as the head coach.
The West is changing very fast. We've mentioned ad nauseum. You have so many teams in flux, and all it took was just one game to move where they were. But, you know, I don't think anybody expected them to close out Golden State, the Golden State era, as they did. But as long as Sabonis and Fox stay healthy, they're going to be in the picture. They just really need that third guy.
Do you think the team is worth trying to pay extra to get to the tax for? They got $21 million of room before they get to the tax. So do you think they could, like, can you see the potential of like a team that can get to like past two rounds?
It depends on what the Lakers and Clippers and New Orleans and Golden State do. Because those are teams, I guess I'm just including your Pelicans, because they're kind of at a crossroads. You have all these old teams who need to make changes. They can't, they tried running it back. We'll get to their postmortems later, but it sucks saying they have to wait and see if Golden State tries to double down yet again. Because knowing this is that next year will be officially their last year. Because they're going to be too old, and then their money is so – it's already out of whack, and the Lakers,
I personally think for Golden State, the last year's already happened. I think everyone's staring down the Lakers, and they're starting to think, I think it's over for them too. Or they might run it back. Yeah.
And you know San Antonio is going to take another slow year because they're San Antonio, and that's not recommendable. Houston's on the uprise. You have Utah – who doesn't seem like they want to go up, as we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and Memphis with John Moran, if he's healthy, could rise up.
Memphis should be back where they were too. So it's still a tight race. So if they spend money for spending money, what could they possibly get? A sixth seed again?
Well, the big story, I think, offseason-wise for the Kings is, yes, they're good. Yes, offensively, they have high upside, but they don't have a lot of wiggle room to spend. And even if they lose Monk, they still don't have a lot of money to add people.
All right, then. So for Andrew Reisch, I'm Adam Murray. Have a good one.
Take care, y'all.